then I got my job in Tulsa. We came on down, and that was great. The first night, we spent the night in the Ramada Inn on I-44 bypass there at Yale Avenue, which is now blown down. They gave me call that night. I didn't want to be on call. I mean, we just drove in, took a motel room, and all of a sudden, oh, you're going to be on call. I didn't even know where the hospital emergency room was. So I get a call to come to the emergency room. There's been a gunshot wound. First night. Now, let me just give you an idea of what Tulsa was like then. There weren't fancy Yale Avenues. None of this four-lane stuff.
1968, you're talking
yeah.
about.
Yeah. And actually, Yale Avenue was only paved up to the hospital driveway. Beyond it, it was literally a gravel road on out. So I went around. I found this emergency room, and I went in.
At St. Francis.
At St. Francis, and told them who I was. It was a woman that attempted suicide, and of all things, and shot herself in the belly. Went through her left iliac vein. But anyhow, we met this doctor. He's a very nice guy. I said, what kind of doctor are you? And he said, I'm an ear, nose, and throat man. Working in the emergency room? He said, yeah, the whole staff here, all 300 of us or something, we just rotate the call. You know, you might have a pediatrician taking the call in the emergency room. And then we call a specialist as you need them. So I took care of the lady, and that went all right. And then I started talking to him. Somebody's got to tell me what this is all about. Well, it turns out that they closed the emergency room at about 5 o'clock at night. They had a doorbell on it. That rang up in the head nurse's office, and the secretary would get hold of her. So if you're having a baby or whatever's going on, gunshot, or just had a sore throat, you went to the emergency room, they'd have to open it up for you. That was pretty unusual, I thought. Anesthesia actually stayed in the building. They had one anesthesiologist in there. He answered all the code blues. He delivered babies if the OB-GYN guy didn't show up on time.
And we should also point out that 61st and Yale was considered very, very south at the time the city.
Yes.
So the population out here wasn't all that great.
No.
So maybe the call on the ER was not as great.
Right.
And maybe they were able to skip by doing that.
Besides, the reputation of St. Francis as an emergency center was not made at all. Hillcrest had it. We were on the Hillcrest staff. We were on the St. John staff. That's why we bought a house over near Edison High School, so I could spend my time going quickly there and less quickly here.
But your group is known as Surgical Associates.
Yeah. By this time, Bill Lothridge had joined the group.
So then, with all your experience and evacuation and all that in trauma rooms, you bring that whole experience here and you figure, well, we've got
I didn't come here for that. I didn't figure anything. I came here to escape that. I thought this would be a place where you watch your kids play softball all day.
And what did you think you'd be doing?
Doing nice hernias and nice gallbladders. This is the Pink Palace. This is a lovely, high-class place.
So then did you decide, here's a problem and I need to fix it?
I didn't. C.T. Thompson, he's a visionary. He had this vision that in order to make this place fly, we need to get something we're known for. So we need to be known for trauma and emergency care, cardiology, neonatal services, and cancer. Now, Mr. Warren bought the cancer thing right away because his daughter, Natalie, had cancer. Neonatal, I guess that's a Catholic mission, a lot of children. That went okay. Cardiology was kind of just listen to your chest. There wasn't cardiac cath done, and there was no trauma. So CT said, I tell you what we got to do. We're going to have to get busy here, and you know all about this stuff. Going back a little bit, the summer of our honeymoon, we went back to northern Wisconsin, and there's a place in Woodruff, Wisconsin, called the hospital that Penny's built. It's the hospital Kate Newcomb. She's a woman from Chicago that moved up there. The book written about her is called Angel on Snowshoes. It has 12 rooms and 22 beds. I worked there that summer. It was amazing. They didn't even have a kitchen. Food was brought from homes. I rode on ambulances, on emergency calls. I did all sorts of stuff, you know, when I was hardly trained to even open a medical book. So that gave me a lot of interest, and a man named J.D. Farrington, Deke Farrington, would come up on Thursdays, internationally known orthopedist from Chicago, who would see patients on Friday, and he built his own home on Saturday and Sunday. He hired me. I was born in a church mouse, so he hired me to be just a gopher, to bring him two-by-fours and stuff. Now, I just sat at his feet and listened to all sorts of things and made rounds with him on Fridays. 1966, he wrote a book, Accidental Death and Disability, The Unknown Situation. I really liked this idea of doctoring. I mean, even before I'd entered medical school, I thought that was just superb. So then I went back another summer and worked there. So I knew a lot about emergency care. 1966, the Department of Labor said that kids in college couldn't drive ambulances anymore. That had to be a full-time job. Funeral homes had 2 years to get rid of their ambulances. Things like that were going on in the background that I didn't really know. CT said, you're a ham radio operator. You've been in the combat zone. You've been at Parkland. You know how to put splints on people. You know all about that trauma. I haven't done it since I was in New Orleans, and I was in the Marines a long time ago. You're going to have to carry this thing. So he and I are like Chet and Dave. He's the front man. He's out there all the time dreaming up things for me to do. And I'm in the back spending New Year's Eve writing papers and thinking. We make a great pair. Love that guy. Anyhow, we said, we can do better. And suddenly, the ambulance situation changed, and a guy named Pat Mace came here. He had the orange and white central ambulances. Pat Mace was a Marine combat medic, got out, went to school at OSU, became an entomologist, and took some biochemistry. He owned SureKill Chemical Company. He's an entrepreneur. So SureKill went into the ambulance business. I went down and talked to him about training his ambulance drivers. He thought that was just great. And he and I became very close friends. We'd sit down there and teach people how to put on Thomas splints or how to really wrap an arm or how to put tourniquets on. And that started some basic little education. I have a wonderful guy named John Cobflesh, a cardiologist, the first guy to do cardiac cast in Tulsa. Showed up at St. Francis, a good friend. He volunteered to come down and teach heart work, how to do CPR, how to give certain medicines. Carl Stevenson, an anesthesiologist, came in and showed how to put tubes into airways and do respiratory support. It was all helter-skelter. Dr. Farrington, meanwhile, had written an orange book, the American Academy of Orthopedic Surgeons, Handbook of Emergency Care. We were using that as a textbook, and somehow CT said, my God, I got it. We're going to make an audiovisual thing here. So we met Hal Balch, Creative Specialist Incorporated. He's not doing well now, but he's over in Utica Square. Phil Atkinson was his photographer, and he had writers. We sat down and talked about it. We went to that book, and we outlined it and decided, what would our dream thing be? No EMT had ever been taught how to deliver a baby. There was no educational material. So I called my old friend Jim Maddox. He's a husky old guy. He goes to the hospital administration and said, we're going to start filming some deliveries up here that EMTs are doing in the St. Francis Emergency. So this real fancy hospital, there we're going off the cliff, you know, because now we have unlicensed people doing things under licensed supervision. He brought in society people and told them what he was going to do, and they loved it. They didn't show their faces. We don't know their names. But the first childbirth films with him instructing an EMT was made here in Tulsa. We made another movie called A Matter of Judgment. Mr. Bell of the amusement park, he led us down there. We wanted to have a guy have a heart attack on a roller coaster, so we did it when the place was closed. And the voice was the guy that always did the Oklahoma Natural Gas commercials. He was the victim patient. Had a real low, anyhow. He called the ambulance, and so I was riding in the front part of the ambulance. We go out there, and the films are going, and Bell's there saying, come quick, come quick. We run out, pick this guy up, and throw him in the ambulance. We take off to St. Francis. Told the nurses, and everybody were coming. But guess what? They all went to dinner. So we had substitute nurses. So we round this driveway, and we come in with the red lights going. They think it's a real emergency. By now, we don't have a doorbell. We've got an emergency. So they come running out, and the ambulance dropped back. And I jump out of the front seat and say, don't open the back door. Don't open the back door. We had film crews up against the window. They opened the back door. Everybody fell out with their equipment. I said, get out of here. Don't stop shooting until they yelled. So we hauled this actor in. We told him that if he just put his arm, had these metal things on, EKG thing, put them down on the metal bars, it would short out and go straight line. I said, you can just say, I can't breathe. I can't breathe. My heart, oh, my chest hurts. And they go, hey, and just do like this. Their EKG strip went, boom, dead. Zero. So anyhow, boy, the nurses clutched it. And I said, don't do anything. You're crazy. So in walks Dr. Ted Winger, a wonderful anesthesiologist who's now dead. He walks in and he says, you're the pinkest dead man I've ever seen. What the hell's going on in here? And the guy opens his eyes. So anyhow, that sort of started this going. We got the ambulance. We got the training package. So then Henry Zero knows all about what we're doing. And he's very influenced by all this. He thinks this is great. Anything you need. So Copley says, well, there's a guy at Yale that's made an EKG machine that can go from an ambulance to a hospital. Pioneer Electronics, he calls himself. So we went down and met at the Community Service Council, and Henry Zero saw the thing going, and he said, how much is it? He said, well, it'll be so much. And
he wrote a check?
Right there.
Yeah. Was he on the board yet at St. Francis?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he'd been on since the beginning.
Okay.
Yeah.